Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, December 18, 2023. This morning I will talk about transcendence. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you sent Jesus to live among us, to die on the cross, and to be raised from the dead, to atone for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive our hardened hearts that have relished sin, transgressed your law, and practiced iniquity without bounds. Soften our hearts. Thank you for first loving us, that we might be forgiven, and approach you as children approach their good fathers. Do not become impatient with us. In the power of your Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself, open our hearts, illumine our thoughts, and strengthen our hands in your service, today and always, that we might rest with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Revelation 1:8 we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Defining transcendence as immaterial, supernatural, and or holy allows us to begin exploring the nature of divinity in the Bible. It is hard to discuss a topic when the words employed are unclear or ill-defined. It is even harder to believe something that is far removed from our normal experience, vocabulary, or purview. It is sometimes said that the ancient Egyptians helped define our understanding of divinity and life everlasting because daily life was so miserable. Life expectancy was short because food supplies were unreliable, diseases mostly incurable, and common problems like intestinal parasites were extremely painful. Infant mortality was so bad that children were not even named until they were a couple years old. Daily life was so miserable, even for the most wealthy. The argument goes that ancient Egyptians obsessed about the afterlife. A contrast can be drawn here to postmoderns for whom food is ever available. Many formerly common diseases can be mitigated, and life expectancy is about double that of ancient times. Daily life for most people is at least tolerable, and the wealthy seem to have it easy. In this new context, many people have forgotten about God and only joke about the afterlife, displaying little fear of divine judgment. For the world's poor who have trouble participating in the wealth and prosperity of our age, however, the reality of God remains real and much sought after. What do you do when a pandemic arrives and you have no access to vaccines and modern medicine? The answer today is the same as in ancient times. You pray to God. For most of recorded history, people have naturally accepted the transcendence of God and many transcendental truths. Consider the Apostles' Creed, written in the year 341 and still memorized by many Christians today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. While 8 of the 16 statements have focused on Jesus and his life story, even more, all but 3 of these 3 statements require a form of transcendence. The 5 fundamentals of faith, biblical inerrancy, natural divinity of Christ, his virgin birth, resurrection of Christ, and his return required for ordination in the Presbyterian Church in 1910 and struck from requirement in 1925 come essentially from the Apostles' Creed. The exception is the inerrancy of Scripture, literally true as written, that was believed to be infallible, no errors with respect to faith, until the 19th century dispute over evolution and creation. The point of raising these issues now is not to revisit the arguments, but to observe that the transcendence problem that we now face is relatively new, a product of the Enlightenment thinking since the 19th century. The problem of sin arose in the Garden of Eden when God put only one requirement on Adam. This is Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Death was a curse for this original sin, a divine penalty attached to a divine stipulation. Sin was a rebellion against God Himself. Only God Himself could reverse the curse and forgive sins. The idea that Jesus died on the cross to redeem us from sin is well attested in the New Testament, a doctrine which is often referred to as the atonement. The Apostle Paul explained the atonement as a reversal of Adam's sin. Adam was sinless until he disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was sinless but obeyed God even to the point of death on a cross. The resurrection credentialed Jesus as divine, making his sacrifice sufficient to reverse the curse brought about by the first Adam. This is why Paul could then observe, this is 1 Corinthians 15:17, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." This syllogism bears repeating: no resurrection, no divinity, no atonement. You are unforgiven and still under law, not gospel. Claiming the name of a dead, merely human martyr cannot reverse the divine penalty for sin. Transcendence is a critical insight into the gospel presented in the New Testament, and it is reflected in the Apostles' Creed, adopted by the early church. Today's transcendence problem is not a trivial matter. It lies at the heart of the gospel, as plainly stated by the Apostle Paul. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.